Good evening, everyone. It's so good to be here, and just really moved actually to be here and be with you guys, and just the sense of the presence of God here and the worshipfulness of you guys as a church is just really moving actually. So thank you so much for the opportunity to worship with you. That's the joy, and we'll see what God has to say. So yeah, I'm Andy. I'm married to Tracy. And we've got two children together. So we've got Lydia, who is 17. She's, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it's amazing. Time flies. But yeah, she's at QMC, studying her A-levels in her A-level year, the second year. And she's doing well, wanting to go to uni next year. So we'll see how we pay for that. I've no idea. But if anyone knows how to, let me know. Then James is 14. He's in year 10, so he's just kind of started his GCSE years. And so it's quite busy for us, really. We've got lots going on. So we moved first to Basingstoke in 2009, where we became part of this family of churches, which was just such a blessing for around about 15 years or so, 10 of which I was working here, as Gary said, leading one of the churches, part of this family of churches. And then God called us on last year, and we're part of the Church of England now, which we didn't expect, but it's been a real blessing, actually. And yeah, so as Gary said, I'm on staff there full-time. That started in July this year. And basically, my role is worship and outreach assistant, which is probably, I think, me, which is great. So there's five churches that part of the parish, and I'm involved in leading worship over at Popley at one of the churches. And then during the week, I'm involved with loads of different outreach stuff, just really trying to see if the community we can get the community, particularly into St. Michael's Church, which is going really well. It's just reopened. If you knew, it was having a renovation for about a year. It just reopened a few weeks ago. And so I've got the joy of just being able to be involved in loads of stuff during the week, where we've just seen tons of people come into the church, people receiving prayer for healing, a youth cafe we've started, some times where people can just come in, a kind of parent and toddler group, all kinds of stuff. It's just brilliant, just seeing people use the building and come in, and people are encountering God in that space, which is just fantastic. And isn't that what it's all about? Yeah. So I've been praying a lot about this evening and what God wanted me to share. And he's kind of brought me back to probably what I always share. So if you know me, then you might think, Andy, this is not much different to what you normally say. And I kind of wrestled with God with that a little bit. I was like, God, can't you just give me something different to say? And can't I have just something else and talk about something completely different? But God just seems to say, no, just talk about what I've made you to do and what I've put on your heart. And really, that is all about people encountering God. And seeing the lost saved, seeing people come into relationship with Jesus, and really seeing the church become all that the church is supposed to be in terms of Jesus' hands and feet reaching people with the message of the gospel and seeing people reconciled to God. And so, is it all right if I speak about that tonight? And we'll see where we get to. In a few moments, we're just going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd really encourage you, if you've got a Bible or if you've got a phone or a tablet or something, that you could find that passage on. That would be really good to follow that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll get there in a moment. But I saw an article recently by a lady called Lucy Chaves. Lucy is a speaker. She's part of the Society of Anglican Missionaries. And she's a missionary, and she's done a load of work out in Africa and Kenya in particular. And she wrote an article that really kind of fitted, I think, with what I wanted to share this evening. I won't read it all, but just a few extracts from that article. She says this: I once had a very dear friend who was more like a sibling than a friend to me. But one day she started a rumor about me. The rumor was not only false, it was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced. In one moment, I lost my buddy, as well as my reputation. The situation lasted for about 3 years. I kept hoping for an apology that wasn't to come. As much as I felt I was the one wronged, holding on to the pain was not making me healthy or happy. One day I reached out to my former friend in an attempt to reconcile. Things didn't go as I hoped. I didn't get an apology. But one thing was different. I felt the Lord lifting the burden from me. Even though I was disappointed, it seemed like the anger was fading away. I felt stronger and more in control of my emotions. I walked away that day, not with what I wanted, but with what I needed. My friend didn't apologize until years later. But that day, I felt like healing had begun. I want to talk tonight a little bit about forgiveness and reconciliation, but not about kind of forgiving one another particularly, although we'll talk about that a little bit, and not really about reconciling with one another, but I want to talk about the forgiveness and the reconciliation that God offers. And I think it's possible, like Lucy did, to be in a situation where you're totally able to forgive, but not necessarily be reconciled. It takes both people or both parties to have reconciliation. But one party can choose to forgive even when there's no reconciliation. I think that's why it says in Romans chapter 12, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's like we've got a responsibility to forgive, but actually if there's no reconciliation, then we can only do what we can do. So with that in mind, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 17 and see what God has to say about forgiveness and reconciliation. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that just incredible words? Just a few things just to pull out from that passage. Number one, just very quickly, when we're reconciled to Christ, we become brand new. So when we are in relationship with Christ, when we decide to follow Jesus, we become brand new inside. The old self, who we used to be, dies. And we become brand new in Jesus. Amen? Number two, God has offered forgiveness to everyone through the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus dying upon the cross has made it possible for the whole world, for everyone who's ever lived or ever will live, to receive forgiveness for everything they have ever done and ever will do. Isn't that just incredible? Number three, as his followers, we receive the ministry of reconciliation. We are called on Jesus' behalf to reach people and offer them his amazing reconciliation. Number four, we become God's ambassadors. So we're his representatives here on earth. That's God's chosen way of seeing this world reached. I'm afraid it's through you and me. I'm afraid it's our job. It's down to us. But God trusts us with that. We're his chosen instruments to minister that reconciliation that he offers to the world. He's chosen to do it through us. He wants to do it through us. Number five, the gospel. I mean, if there's ever a description of the gospel, I think it's in verse 21, the last verse we just read there, that basically says, and it's absolutely incredible, it blows my mind every time I think about it, but basically Jesus has taken all of our rubbish, all of our sin and shame, all of the things we've done wrong or ever will do wrong, he has taken them upon himself. He's become sin effectively, taking all that from us onto himself when he died upon the cross. And that in itself is just incredible news. That is just absolutely mind-blowing and brilliant. But it goes further. Not only has he taken all of our rubbish, he then gives us back in exchange for that. He gives us his righteousness, this right living before God, this purity before God, this forgiveness is given to us. And that is just amazing that God would do that for us. It's just absolutely incredible. It's kind of like the great exchange. Jesus takes all the bad stuff and gives us all of his good stuff. And that for me is the gospel in a nutshell. And then number six, you can't become an ambassador without becoming new. And you can't become new without becoming an ambassador. That's what I think this passage is saying, that if you become new in Christ, if you decide to follow Christ, you give him your life, you trust him, you accept what he's done for you, then you become brand new. But then you automatically become an ambassador, a representative for him, and you carry this ministry of reconciliation. And so if you become new, you automatically become an ambassador. But you can't become an ambassador without becoming new. The two go hand in hand. And so I'm afraid for some of us, this might be slightly uncomfortable because we're like, well, hang on a minute. I'm not sure that's my gifting. I'm not sure that's me. I think I'm more pastoral, or I've got a more teaching gift, or prophetic, or I'm a worship leader, or I'm a musician, or I'm really good at encouraging people, or I've got a gift of hospitality. And you know what? All those are brilliant things. And if God's given you those things, that's absolutely amazing. Go for it with all your heart, but you're also a minister of his reconciliation to the people around you. Because if you've become new in Christ, you become an ambassador for him, and you're called to minister his reconciliation. I consider myself to be really evangelistic, and I love sharing the gospel with people and seeing people come to Christ. But in the same way that if I said, well, my gifting's evangelistic, so I'm actually not going to care for anyone in the church. Or, you know what, I'm not going to try and hear God because I'm more an evangelist than a prophet. You'd turn around to me and say, Andy, no, everyone's called to love one another. Everyone's called, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Everyone's called to hear God. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're following him, then you can hear his voice. And you'd be quite right to say that. But let me just gently challenge you tonight. If you kind of think, oh, I'm a pastor or I'm a teacher or I'm into hospitality or something, so therefore I'm going to leave that reconciliation part to the evangelists and the people who like to talk to people. If you've been made new, you're a minister of his reconciliation. And so please don't stop doing anything else. But I'd love to encourage you tonight that you're also a minister of his reconciliation. So I've got a friend, believe it or not, and I'm going to try at least not to mention his or anyone else's name in this story because I'd just prefer not to. But I haven't seen him for a long time, and up until a few months ago, a long time. And I knew that he grew up in a Christian home. He had some sort of Christian influence, but as far as I'm aware, I don't think he's ever really followed Jesus as such, and done the whole church thing or anything like that. But I'd heard that he had told a friend that he needs Jesus in his life. He was just like, I need Jesus in my life. And I heard this over a conversation about something else. It was just kind of dropped in. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to drop him a message. If he needs Jesus in his life, I really want to help him find him. So I dropped him a message, and we met up about a week later, had breakfast together. And bearing in mind, I hadn't seen him for years. I got to this place first, and then he came along a few minutes later, and he sat down opposite me at the table. And normally, you know, you'd want to catch up, wouldn't you? How are you doing? How's it? But he literally sat down and said, I need to come to church. I was like, whoa, okay. Let's talk about that then. That sounds great. And so we had a look at his diary. He works some Sundays, so he can't come every Sunday. But there was a Sunday a couple of weeks in the future that he could make it. And so we agreed I'd meet him outside, and we arranged it all. And sure enough, he turned up. And he stood, sat through the service and said, this is amazing. This is just amazing. And then they offered prayer at the end. And he went forward and got prayer. And at the end of it, he said, I got this amazing feeling. I feel so peaceful. Jesus is just so real, isn't he? And I was like, yeah, he is. and so he came back the next week and absolutely loved it and wanted to meet people, wanted to chat to people. And he was just changed. He was just different. And so I said to him, look, I think it would be great to meet together and start looking at the Bible together if you'd like to do that. He said, I'd absolutely love to do that. So we got together one day, and I think it was over breakfast again, actually. But anyway, that's by the by. We got together, and I was thinking, well, what should we look at in the Bible? And I felt to take him to the Gospels. It's always a good place to start. And so I took him to the Gospels, and I took him to the parable of the sower. Maybe a slightly strange one to look at, maybe. Parable of the sower is all about the farmer who sows a seed, and some of it lands on the path and the birds eat it. Some of it lands among the rocks and there's no root and it dies. Some of it lands among the thorns and it gets choked and doesn't grow. But some of it lands on good soil. And what the gospel writers describe as good soil is when you receive the word, you believe, but it doesn't stop there. It says you produce a crop, some 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. And so my friend was like, well, so that means what was sown in me, this kind of Jesus in me, that means I've got to share it with other people, don't I? And I was like, yeah, you do. That's a great idea. And so we talked about who we could share it with. And he said, well, I want to share it with my wife. And he explained how his wife is just really anti anything to do with church, faith, Jesus, anything, just really anti. And so he wants to share it with her. And I said, great, let's start praying. And so he goes and starts doing that. And then when we come back the next time to look at the Bible again, who does he bring but his wife? And she is really anti. And she's basically saying, look, I don't believe any of this. I don't think this is right. I don't think I don't think there's any truth in this whatsoever. But as we're going through the Bible story that we're looking at that time, you can see she's just starting to soften. She's just starting to soften, and her language is changing from being really anti to, well, there might be something. And so it's like, okay. But my friend is getting really frustrated because he's saying, but I want my wife to believe. I know what's happened in me and I want this for her as well. And I said, just keep letting her see the change in you. And just keep praying for her. This is not a work that any of us do. This is a work of God in someone's life to draw them towards himself. So let's just keep praying. And then, so I think it was the next week, my friend was at church, and who should turn up with him but his wife. And she's there, and at the end of it, she hasn't hated it. She's actually quite enjoyed it, and she thought it was all right. And she still doesn't believe. She's still very skeptical about it, but she's definitely warming up. And then every time my friend has been there, she's also been there with him. And we had, a couple of weeks ago, we had a kind of midweek worship evening at St. Michael's. And my friend turned up and his wife turned up. And it went really, really well. And she absolutely loved it. To the point that she then reached out to a friend of my friend and his wife. She reached out to this friend and said, I've been at this church service the last few weeks, and I've been at this worship evening, and there's something here happening at this church, which is just incredible. And she was like, you've got to come along. And so the next Sunday, this friend came along. And he's been there, I think, every Sunday since. And I tell you this rather long story just to kind of say that God loves it when we reach out. And God moves when we're just open to being his ambassadors. And when we think, you know what, we're going to be ministers of his reconciliation to people. So it kind of went, and things that happened before, which I've told you about, which brought this friend of mine to start thinking about faith. But it started with someone, and then I kind of got involved, and then he kind of got involved, and then his wife got involved, and then this friend got involved, and suddenly it just grows, doesn't it? As every person starts to realize that, hang on a minute, if I'm following Jesus, then I've got to reach out to people, haven't I? And I don't know exactly where my friend's wife is. I don't know exactly where my friend and his wife's friend is. But people are encountering Jesus as just a few people start to get hold of. If I've been made new in Jesus, then I'm called to be his ambassador. I'm called to represent him to the people around me. We've looked at 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 17, but just a couple of verses before, verses 14 and 15 says this. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Christ's love compels us. It compels us to the lost. Just before this passage, Paul's been talking about kind of, as long as I'm in this earthly tent, this earthly body, then I'm going to do everything I possibly can, because people are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an account. So therefore, because of the love of Christ, it compels me to the lost. It compels me to the people that need to hear about him, because we're convinced that Jesus died for everyone. And the response for that is that we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and for us and was raised again. God's offered the most incredible gift to the whole world: forgiveness through Jesus. But we as the human race, we've turned our back on God. Each one of us have gone our own way. But when we're reconciled to God, the relationship is complete. And we receive everything of God, and he takes everything bad away from us. It is an amazing deal for us. But you know what? We have to receive it. We have to receive it. So if I had a check, I know this is a bit of a dated example, dated kind of analogy, but if I had a check and I wanted to give it to Pat for £1,000, I'm not actually doing this, I've got, but if I gave Pat a check for £1,000, there you go, take the check, and Pat's now got a check for £1,000, and that's incredible. But if she just puts it in her purse and does nothing with it, it's worth nothing. The transaction only takes place if she cashes it into the bank. And then once she cashes that into the bank, then that transaction takes place and the money goes from my account into Pat's account. And I think it's very similar what Paul's talking about here. Is that actually this amazing gift has been offered by Jesus. A gift that's more valuable than any money in the world. But actually, if we do nothing with it, if we just kind of say, oh, I'm not gonna bank that. I'm not going to do anything with that, then nothing, I don't think, really happens. And there's so many people, isn't there, that are just kind of like, I'm not going to think about religion or faith or whatever they want to call it. They think, you know what, I've got loads of time to think about that. And they put it in their purse or their wallet and they forget about it and they don't know anything about it. But for those of us who have said, yes, I want to be reconciled to God. I want to receive this amazing gift of forgiveness, be reconciled to God. Then we receive this amazing righteousness that Jesus offers us in exchange for all of our rubbish. The transaction happens. It's moved from one account to the other. And we're complete in Christ. Could I just invite you to stand if you're able? Gary's been really gracious and just saying, lead us into some ministry if you'd like to. So I just want to give some people the opportunity to be prayed for tonight, if you'd like to. And I'll let Gary and Sarah just, however you want to do that in terms of who's praying and how to organise that. But I'd just love to offer three kind of responses from what I've shared tonight. Number one is, Have you received God's reconciliation? Just simply, have you received it? Are you one of those people that maybe thought, I'm going to put this check in my wallet or my purse and one day I'll think about it. One day I might bank it. But if after being here tonight, with all the worship we've been in and all we've talked about, if you're kind of thinking, you know what, tonight's the night that I want to say yes to Jesus, I want to be reconciled to God, I want to receive that free gift of forgiveness that Christ died for me, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that tonight. So that's number one. Number two, just going back to that story about Lucy Chaves and that I shared at the beginning, and I know this hasn't really been the focus of what I've shared, but if that just triggered something in you that you kind of feel like, you know what, I've withheld forgiveness because the other person or the other people, whoever it is, haven't been repentant and haven't said sorry. So therefore, you know what, I'm not going to say sorry, or I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to forgive them because they haven't said sorry. Then if God's just laid that on your heart, that tonight you think, actually, you know what, I want to forgive that person. Even if they're just like, I've done nothing wrong and I'm not going to say sorry, but you just feel like actually before God tonight, you want to forgive that person, then I just want to give you the opportunity to be prayed with this evening. And then number three, if you feel like maybe you've hidden behind a gift that God's given you and you kind of feel like, you know what, I've always just felt like I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, I'm a worship leader, whatever, and actually, I wonder if I've neglected that ministry of reconciliation that God has called me to be, to do, because I've been made new in him. Again, please don't hear that I'm saying that's all you should do and forget any other gifts. I'm not saying that. But if you feel like, you know, actually, I think I've neglected that a little bit, then why don't you receive some prayer as well? So one, if you want to receive God's reconciliation tonight. Number two, if you want to forgive someone even though they're not repentant at all. And number three, if you feel like you've hidden behind another gift and you actually tonight want to say before God, I want to step out and be a minister of his reconciliation, then I'd love you to respond and receive some prayer.